Hey everybody, what's going on? Welcome to Geekening Podcast. How you guys doing? We got a special guest on our show today. We have Dre, the developer in Jonami, who has a game out called Billion Beat. If you guys don't know what Billion Beat is, it's pretty much a boxing game. Something that's kind of similar to all you fans of Punch-Out. Kind of has that similar vibe. Yeah, Dre, how's it going?
Hey, not bad. Actually, the game is releasing in 2 days from now, on the 14th. So it's actually currently available via Early Access on Steam, but the final version is coming out in 2 days.
All right. Well, tell me a bit about how you came up with the concept for this game. I'm pretty sure you probably were inspired by those games like Punch-Out, I'm guessing.
Yeah, specifically Super Punch-Out, the Super Nintendo version. So, you know, I'm a solo developer, and when you make a game, especially when you're just one person, the kind of game you have to work on is heavily dependent on feasibility, i.e. how realistic it is for one person to make a game, right? And I think a game like Super Punch-Out is the best kind of combination of a cool game that also has enough simplicity for, you know, one person to kind of realistically make the game by themselves. So, you know, compared to something like a first-person shooter, something like Super Punch-Out only really has kind of one area, and, like, you don't really move around the area. You're kind of always stuck in place, and you just sort of dodge punches. So, basically, I chose this game because I'm really passionate about Super Punch-Out, but also because it's just something I realistically can do, especially for my first game.
How long did it take you to build this game from the ground up?
Took me about 4 years. However, a significant portion of that, I was working full-time 40 hours at a day job and could only really manage 20 hours of my free time after work. Maybe about 2 years of that period, I had basically saved up money and focused on development full time. But yeah, again, most of the development was kind of while also working to support myself.
And you did all this by yourself, this entire game?
Almost. So of course I used Unity Engine. I didn't create Unity. But
no, of course not.
everything else except for most of the music. I did compose a few of the songs, but actually most of the music comes from kind of online services that I paid for. But yeah, the graphics, programming, design are all me.
And how about the, creating, the characters and, basically the art style? Was that all you as well?
Yep. So basically the way I do my art is I draw on paper first, and then I basically take a picture or scan in that drawing, and then it used to be called Macromedia Flash, now it's called Adobe Animate, but basically I use the Adobe Animate software to essentially trace digital line art over my drawings, and then color them in, export, all that. But yeah, I also did all that.
Yeah, I remember Macromedia. That's so while ago since I ever heard that name. But I know
Flash is basically legal now on the internet. So
yeah, I know.
But the anime software is still widely used by animators. In fact, there's a lot of streams you could watch of them doing their work, and they still just use Flash because it's called Animate now. But yeah, it's actually just very good animation software.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of good ones out there. Tell me about how, what inspired you with these creations that you were making for the game, like all these characters that you were building with this game, like what drew you, like anything specific?
Yeah, so I grew up in the 90s, which most strongly defines my aesthetic tastes. And And back then, character design was kind of the opposite of it was now. So characters in the 90s that were popular were usually had a lot of personality, also known as attitude, but also they were often just sort of ugly or strange. Basically, in the 90s, being very weird was considered a positive, whereas now it's just kind of seen as weird. So, if you've ever heard of Ren and Stimpy, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I grew up on that stuff.
There was a very, very strange cartoon on MTV called The Max with two X's.
Oh, yeah. I definitely remember those.
Any sort of a just really strange kind of creature was an inspiration. And another reason I did that, actually two reasons. One is I'm somewhat artistically limited. So in fact, I'm not very good at drawing people. So I have to take that into account with my games, right? Whereas I can draw kind of just a strange alien thing. Another reason is it's just good for your game to immediately stand out from other games. So my art style is not the most sophisticated, and also I think if I did some like pixel art or full 3D, it would have found a wider audience possibly. However, that would have also taken a long time. But more importantly, I think even if you don't like how my game looks, it's hard to argue that when you put it up against other games, it immediately stands out as something that looks very distinct. And kind of everything about my game, I really value the distinctness and the uniqueness. Even though, again, it's a double-edged sword, because if it's too unique, it's hard to find an audience, you know?
Yeah, because I feel like with a lot of games, you know, kind of standing out of all of them can be quite a challenge, especially now that, you know, we're kind of in this age where a lot of indie developers are putting a lot of their games out, and it seems like a lot of they're getting like a lot of positive feedback from, you know, players once they hear about them. Has that been the same for you when you was able to put this out on early access? Like, did you get any good feedback?
Yeah, actually, that's exactly why I did the early access. So I wasn't hurting for money. I didn't do it because I needed to fund further development. I still have plenty of money saved up. Basically, I wanted to put it on early access as it's just a very good tool, or kind of, it's super helpful, especially to a solo developer with almost no budget, because you're essentially getting free feedback and kind of beta testing just from normal people. And because there's the understanding that an early access game is not complete, they have patience when finding bugs, right? Early access has been great. I have no complaints about it. And actually using Steam in general has been super convenient. From my perspective, I kind of just build the game, and then it's just a web UI. I make four or five clicks, and then the game is kind of updated immediately for everybody. I'm very positive about Steam and early access.
From what I can see, with the full game, there'll be at least a couple of features, like the three playable characters, the story segments. Have you added anything new, you know, in place of that as well while this was still on access?
Yeah, so right when it entered early access, it only had one character, and it was lacking the story beats feature, which is every time you punch an opponent, it types out. The story beats feature, which is every time you punch an opponent, you can go to the library screen and there's a book with their face on it and you can read their backstory. So it's an incentive to fight the opponent more, to learn kind of what drives them. The other feature that didn't exist yet was something called tronics, as in electronics. So basically these are essentially cheat codes. You can pay to get cyborg parts that permanently upgrade your character and make the game a lot easier. So I added both of those features. After that, I added the easy mode character, who's super duper easy to play. And the thing I'm finishing up right now is the normal mode character, which is a little easier than the hard mode. So basically, every time you go up a difficulty level, you play a different character, and that character is just more difficult to control than the previous one. So yeah, that's all the early access content. Basically, I'm just wrapping it up. The character's done now, but I'm just kind of doing some last minute bug fixes and features. And yeah, I actually fulfilled all my early access promises, which you don't necessarily have to do. Basically, when you go into early access, you kind of have a vague list of things that you would like to do, but you don't necessarily have to do them. The idea being that perhaps feedback from players will let you know that maybe something you wanted to do wasn't really a good idea, or maybe you have a better idea. So, yeah, actually, with early access, you're kind of free to do whatever. But as it turned out, all my ideas resonated pretty well with the players. So I kind of just did what I originally planned.
That's great. I was gonna say that it's kind of unique that you have a different character with each difficulty that you're putting in, and especially that you're gonna have three to choose from, and then you'll have all these zany characters to add with that, like with their own personalities, their own backstories. How much time did that take you to actually come up, with these characters, like, with all this information?
Yeah, so creating an enemy character is quite different from creating a player-controlled character. With the exception of the very sophisticated enemy characters, like the final boss and another character that just has completely different art because he's a different species almost, creating an enemy character is a little easier because they kind of all draw from the same pool of attacks. So, for example, if I program one guy punching you high, all of them can do that because they kind of all have the same body underneath the hood and things like that. So while creating the enemy characters, each one took maybe 3 weeks to a month and a half total, and the very sophisticated ones maybe took like 3, maybe even 4 months for the final boss because the final boss is actually three different characters in one.
Oh,
For
wow.
the player characters. So when I only had one guy, actually the very base gameplay didn't take me very long at all. It was maybe like a month and a half to kind of just get the game running and resembling Super Punch-Out. And then over time, I kind of just added new abilities to the basic character. So it's kind of hard to estimate how much the original character took because the development was just spread out over while I was doing other stuff. The easy mode character is she basically only has two attacks, so she's very, very simple compared to the other two. She only took me like maybe a month and a half, including her cutscenes, which actually took a long time. The normal mode character has taken me, I think, 2.5 months at this point because she actually does have the hard mode character has two arms and the normal mode character has four arms. So I actually had to kind of reprogram some stuff, doing a lot of new art. It was actually kind of a challenge having a four-armed character because where do the extra arms come from? You know, it's not something that actually exists in real life. I settled on the arms sort of just kind of shooting out the back of their shoulders. It looks kind of cool, but to be honest, there's no reason you need four arms. Two arms are fine. You know, like it's kind of silly, but you know, it looks awesome. So that's the main point.
Hey, I mean, it looks good on Goro for Mortal Kombat, so I don't
Yeah,
see why not.
exactly. And I think there's a lady version. I forget what her name was,
I think
but she
it's
was in the lady version.
Shiva, right?
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, awesome. Yeah, so I guess my character's more like Shiva.
Yeah, that's what it kind of reminded me of when I was looking at the game. I was like, yeah, this kind of looks like Shiva from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, hopefully people will my attitude on a character is they're kind of the bait or the incentive to come play the game. You know, so hopefully they think, oh, that's kind of interesting. And even if they're not interested in Punch-Out, which most people aren't, my understanding of the cultural awareness of Punch-Out is almost everybody knows the word. Like, it's a household name in that respect. They could probably tell you what the game looks like, but surprisingly few people actually played it, in my experience. It's kind of a very sort of niche title. So, you know, hopefully just by virtue of people being like, oh, this is very kind of unique looking, they'll give this type of gameplay a shot, because I guess I could say that's another reason I made this type of game. I think it's kind of a criminally underappreciated gameplay type. There's maybe five or six of these games in existence, including the ones that aren't made by Nintendo and are kind of just ripoffs, like Wade Hickston's Counterpunch on GBA. They just don't really exist, and I think it's just such a really kind of like clever, well-designed. It has the best possible combination of easy to pick up and hard to master. Yeah, man, Punch-Out's great. I wish there were more Punch-Out games.
Yeah, definitely. Because I remember the earlier Punch-Out games, and some of them are difficult as hell, and but you know, there's still a lot of fun to play as, so it's great to see games like yours kind of paying homage to that and also trying to get people to appreciate more of that genre or that, you know, game style of playing. So it's great to see stuff like this out, you know, out there, especially on Steam.
You mentioned the difficulty about that. So I'm very cognizant that classic Punch-Out is a hard game, and to be frank, a bit too hard for what modern audiences are used to, especially because they're not used to this type of game.
No.
So for example, action platformers, games like Mario, you can actually expect a decent number of people to be very, very good, because a lot of people play those games a lot, right? Whereas nobody but me has been playing Punch-Out for the last 20 years, so I can't realistically expect most people to be comfortable with a classic Punch-Out level of difficulty. So I basically attacked this problem in many ways, because I consider it a very serious kind of obstacle. The first one, of course, is just having the difficulty settings. So normal mode is a lot easier than Super Punch-Out. Super Punch-Out didn't have difficulty settings, but it's a lot easier than kind of just the basic. Whereas my hard mode is a lot harder than any other Punch-Out game, to hopefully kind of cover everybody that would want to play. The other ways I address this are basically there's arcade mode, which is you can never upgrade your character. It's just kind of pure classic Punch-Out. And then there's also story mode. And story mode has, I think, four or five different things that make the game easier. So you can upgrade your fists after fighting to just increase the damage and kind of energy and things like that. You can buy snacks or drinks, which are items that you can consume in battle to heal yourself. And this is the only way to heal yourself in battle. You can go to an advice screen to kind of just learn how the game works. And lastly, the tronics I discussed. If everything else fails and you still can't win, you can basically buy these cheat codes to do things like have a recharging shield, kind of like from Halo. There's one that shows you a very obvious UI element to show how the enemy is going to attack you. Basically, it should be very easy to win once you finally get the tronics if you're having a hard time.
Yeah, because I see all these power-ups that you added in this game, like all the drinks and stuff, and, you know, it's definitely not something that I've seen in, you know, this particular playstyle, so I like that this is something that is relatively new, so props to you to, you know, being able to, you know, add that into a game like this.
Yeah, like I said, I kind of felt it was sort of a mandatory thing to do, because, you know, when you make a game, you have to consider all angles, including how average people are likely to perceive and interact with the game. So it would have been a huge mistake to make this game only for Super Punch-Out experts, of which there are extremely few, you know?
Yeah, certainly. So this is your first game that you're putting out, right, on Steam?
Sort of. So many, many moons ago, there was something called Steam Greenlight, And basically, the way it works now is, do you want to put your game on Steam? You pay Steam 100 bucks, and that's it. In the past, you had to go through something called Greenlight, which is you post videos and images of your game, and then the community votes yes or no if it's allowed to get onto Steam. So, let's see, maybe 8, 10 years ago, many, many moons ago, I made a different game. But unfortunately, it failed the Steam Greenlight. So the game was maybe 70, 80% done, and I kind of just stopped working on it because it also had a lot of bugs. I was less experienced in making games then. So yeah, this is my first publicly released game, although I actually have made games before that.
What other games have you worked on?
In college, I did a bunch of small stuff that I don't even have backed up. And the other one that failed Stream Greenlight was something called Slide Through. To describe it, it's like it nominally resembles Guitar Hero in that there are six lanes that are kind of coming at you. However, instead of a rhythm game or having like little buttons you press, on these lanes are four characters like an RPG party. So, like, a thief, a cleric, a fighter, and a mage. And basically, enemies come down at you in the lanes, and you can switch the lane each character is in. And each character is a color, and each enemy is a color. And you ideally want to line up your character's color with the enemy's color because they're the best at fighting that color. So it's kind of like a RPG slash action hybrid. It was a really, really unique game. Unlike Billion Beat, which is clearly just a punch-out kind of game, Slide Through was very much super duper. Nothing else was quite like it. For Billion Beat, I decided to kind of move away from that because I already faced so many uphill battles as a solo developer that, like I was saying at the beginning, if your game is too innovative and unique, it's just very, very difficult to expect people to have the patience to learn how to play a completely new game. Especially, there's a sentiment now, which I actually agree with for the most part, that it's kind of unrealistic to have a very wordy tutorial right at the beginning, where to play the game, you have to sit through, maybe 20 minutes of just reading, right? Like, that's just off-putting to people, especially in a game that's like an action game. However, if your game is really kind of unique and nobody's played anything like it before, there's frankly no option but to have some text at the beginning to explain stuff. So basically, what I'm getting at is with my last game, it was just kind of too strange to be viable in a lot of ways. I still like it. I think it's kind of, I have it backed up, but yeah, it was kind of just hard to work on it because it was too weird.
I don't know. I feel like that kind of a game might be worth looking into if given the chance. I mean, it kind of reminds me a bit of I don't know if you heard of No More Heroes. I think that was on the Switch like a while ago. It kind of had that similar play style where you have to kind of switch between lanes with your characters and then try to, beat waves of enemies. So, yeah, that kind of thing I've seen probably only once, but I don't think it gained a lot of traction as it should, but
Yeah,
yeah.
kind of to my point there. Basically, when I was growing up, the attitude was weird was good. So, people playing games back then were very excited to just play something very strange just to kind of broaden your horizons. But I think what's going on now, and you kind of touched on this, is there's so many games. Games are being released as we're talking right now. Tons of them. So I'd say it's kind of an issue of sort of being spoiled for choice, meaning there's so many great games, and for example, my games are going up against AAA games that are made by teams of hundreds of experts that individually have more time making games than I do, right? So when somebody has maybe like three different like AAA games that their friends are playing right now, it's very difficult for them to say, hey, could you please take 2 or 3 hours to learn how to play my game? That's very weird, right?
Yeah.
So just kind of due to the oversaturated nature, realistically, certain games are not just the, I guess, investment necessary for the game to be playable is not kind of compatible with the current realities of the market.
Yeah, it's kind of a, tough thing to deal with, but at the same time, it's like, there's gonna be, hundreds of these games being released, daily. So it's something that I feel like a lot of indie developers have to contend with, and it's kind of like a quick of the draw. Like, if it works, then people will definitely start buying your game. But if not, then that would be the end of it, and then people just move on.
Yeah, and it's just kind of a hard industry to predict from what I've seen. I don't really do kind of big data industry analyses or anything, so I'm kind of just guessing here. But for example, Minecraft, I believe, is the most popular game ever. So there was a game before Minecraft which was essentially exactly like Minecraft. I forget the name, but even the creator of Minecraft says that he was basically sort of ripping off this other game for whatever reason. I'm not sure because I haven't played the other game, but Minecraft became the greatest game ever, and this game that predated it, which is basically almost the same, didn't. So I'm not sure exactly what factors were in play there, but so I guess what I'm saying is, even if you make a type of game first, for whatever maybe aesthetic or just luck, I guess, it might actually not catch on, and then somebody else might do sort of the same thing, and then they just happen to, I guess, hit all the right notes, and then it's a success. So yeah, I guess what I'm saying here is, as an indie developer, sort of, it really is a shot in the dark. You kind of just have to give it your all, hope it works out, but it's just sort of really volatile and oversaturated. So I guess I'm saying it's sort of unwise to expect that your game will definitely kind of resonate with players. I think 10, 15 years ago, when Steam was more sparse, it was realistic to kind of just make anything, and then some people would actually just play it. But it is literally impossible for people to keep up with the games being released at this point. And that's probably never going to change again. So I guess kind of the game has just changed in terms of games development.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly evolving, every time. So it's just interesting to see how far, the industry is going, especially with indie developers, putting out games that are like either it's reminiscent to the past, but also kind of has like a unique spin to it. So it's fascinating to me to see how these things actually work out.
Yeah, so the being reminiscent of things in the past is probably, especially as solo developers, one of their greatest tools, because if you're working off an existing game, basically that other team has done a lot of the, they've sort of absorbed the blow, if you will, of taking a risk and, seeing how it responds. Basically, they made the prototype for you that proves that this gameplay is fun. So if you make a game similar to, for example, me working off a Super Punch-Out, I kind of knew from the very beginning, okay, this is definitely going to be fun in a way I can predict because I know why Super Punch-Out is fun. Whereas with my other game, because it was just something I created out of nothing, I wasn't sure how fun it would be. And as it turned out, it was a very interesting game, but the actual combat was not quite fun enough. I think possibly, if I would have just spent a lot more time tweaking things and kind of maybe adding new mechanics or something, I could have made the combat more fun. But at its current state, the game is not super fun to actually play because of, I guess, just sort of imperceptible kind of ways that it works, I guess. Just like the smallest timing being off could potentially make your entire game sort of feel wrong. So yeah, this working off of old games, realistically, it's the best thing you can possibly do if you don't have a budget or a ton of experience, because it's safe. You kind of know what you're working towards. You can So, you know, if you're a decent developer, you can look at an old game and you can immediately in your head sort of start listing the things that you would have to create in order to get this to work. And because older games were smaller in scope, it's a realistic project. Yeah, it's just great to do that, I think. Ideally, we'd have more innovation, but realistically, especially if you're a small developer like me, you can't be too innovative, you know?
Yeah, I definitely hear that. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show. If you guys want to check out Billion Beats, it's coming out in 2 days. So July 14th is the big day for you. That's when the game is going to be coming out, and hope everyone gets to, you know, take a look at the game.
It's $8 normally. I think it'll be on sale for $6 for a month or so. So check it out.
Oh,
it has
there you go.
Yeah. It has 3 circuits with 4 fighters each, so that's 12 opponents, although some fights have multiple guys that you fight in them. Like I said, there's all the features I talked about before. I estimate on your first playthrough it'll take about maybe 8 to 10 hours to beat. So yeah, I think it's kind of a cheap game, should be fun. Hopefully some people enjoy it. Well, thanks for having me on, Muffson.
Yeah, no problem. If you want to tell everyone where they can find you.
So Billion Beat is on Steam. Just search for that. I'm on Twitter at Dronami Games. I think if you search the Billion Beat hashtag, you could find me quite easily. I guess you could also email me. My website is Dronami. There's a link there to all my other stuff. So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, and make sure you guys tune in to Geekening for more shows. And you know, thank you so much. We'll see you guys next time.
Well, appreciate this, Muffin. I gotta go walk my dog.
If you're looking for watch-alongs of all your favorite shows, head over to our Patreon. Free accounts get reactions and interactive content. The premium tier unlocks early access to all our latest stuff and a fun Discord community. You can even keep up with Cat and the Gang as we dive into video games. Be sure to sign up for free on allagesofgeek.com and make your own account. So come on and geek out with us. It won't be the same without you.